So he talks about the four loves. Storge, which is like the parent's love for a child. Storge, parent love for a child. There's that family, there's that strong bond, there's that family love, there's that bond, mother kind of bond, there's that storge, that kind of family love. Then eros, well, that word, you know, romantic love, that's where we get the word erotic from. That's to do with that being in love, you know. C.S. Lewis talks about Venus for like that sexual love. But eros is to do with that romantic love. Who remembers their first love, being in love? Yeah, can you remember that? Still in love with him, ah. Being in love, it's that wonderful feeling, it's those butterflies, it's love letters, remember those? Before text messages and WhatsApps. And that excitement, or the heartbreak, isn't it? When you send a Valentine's card to someone and, or it's not reciprocated. Or you count, or you cover your bases and you send a few Valentines and hope that there's... Come on, who's done that? You hope that there's something comes back. So storge, parent love, eros, the kind of romantic love. Philia, that's that friendship love. So it's a non-sexual love. It's kind of mates, friends, shared experience. I used to work on the shop floor, and their expression of love would be a dead arm. So, do you know what I mean? They'd walk past you and thump you in the arm. Well, that's them saying, you're all right, I love you, in a friendship way. Many of you would not interpret that as loving, but if they didn't bother with you at all, then they're really not interested. So friends have strange ways of expressing love, don't they? Philia, friendship love. But of course, the highest form of love is the Greek word agape, isn't it? Agape, the highest form. That's the God's love. That's that universal. That's that sacrificial, continuous, unending. God demonstrates through his son, dying on the cross. We'll be remembering that soon. Agape, the ultimate, the highest form of love. Most famous verse in the Bible? Come on, guys. What is it? What'd you say? John 3:16. For God... There we go. Agape. That's this love that we're looking at. So when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, if that Spirit is really in our lives, these things are going to become evident. It's a fruit, just like a tree, isn't it? Fruit, it comes when there's that connection. John 15, if we're connected to the vine, it will be an automatic response. These things will become evident in our lives. John 15:13, sometimes used in a memorial. I remember Jim spoke on this on one Remembrance Sunday. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Agape. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:4-5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. 1 John 4:7-8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Jeremiah, some Old Testament. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. There's the love as well. It's the same word agape. The Greek word agape is used in Revelation 2:4 and the letters to the churches, Ephesus. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. And then it goes on. There's a call to repentance and there's that warning. If you don't repent, God's going to remove that lampstand. I just want us to zone in on 1 John 4. John, you can't talk about love without going to the John, can you? Because John described himself as the apostle who Jesus loved, isn't it? What a wonderful thing. And each one of us can put that on our CVs. In fact, that should be the most important thing on your CV. Whatever your name is, I dare you to put it on there. Definitely be a conversation starter, but That is what defines me. I can say, Chris, the disciple who Jesus loves. Because it's true, and it's true for you. You can put your name there. So let's just turn to 1 John chapter 4. So easy to preach from scripture because I don't have to say anything really, I just have to read scripture and it's everywhere. Isn't it amazing that it's just throughout? So let's go. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7, beloved, let us love one another for love is from God and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So much there. John really does talk a lot about abiding, doesn't he? He's got it. He's obsessed in a healthy way that we can actually dwell in God and God can dwell in us. That is something quite mind-bending, isn't it, really? That you can dwell within God and God can dwell in you. Again, we can't do it, but it's through the Spirit, isn't it? That Spirit goes before. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God looks at us and he sees us as perfect. But we're not perfect, are we? And that's that process of that Spirit working its way through producing that fruit. And John again, he says in John 13:35, you will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. How's your discipleship going? Love isn't always easy, is it? It's easy to love things that you like, but this is agape, This is sacrificial love. This is putting others first love. And that's what we're going to be doing now. And I just want to hand over to Sheila, who's just going to lead us in a time of communion as we remember the greatest love of all. Thank you, Sheila.